and a very happy, joyous Easter day to you all. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And a warm welcome to those of us who met at Sorrel Point this morning. It was very chilly and windy, but we did see the sunrise, didn't we? Eventually, we had to be patient. And Peter was then on to Radio Jersey. I don't know if anybody heard him this morning. He was on the radio, and he mentioned the fact that we'd all been there. And now he went on from there to St. Albans, where he did a 9:15 service, and now he's at Bethesda. So he will have earned his Easter lunch today, I think. So welcome to you all, and welcome to any visitors today. After the service, we will be serving tea and coffee in the hall, and you're all very warmly welcome to join us after for some time of fellowship. I'd also like to welcome Karen, who's behind me here. I said, are you going to sit there the whole time? Because I feel bad having my back to you anyway. Karen needs no introduction, but I'd just like to thank her for all the work that she's put into this service today. A couple of notices. Next week is our last film night of the season. So if you're planning to come for the meal, please let me know by Wednesday. Either text me or call me. And if you're just coming for the film, you can just turn up at 7:30. We had our Passover celebration on Friday evening, which was a great success. We had a full house, and we raised some money for our Israel Fund. And it was a lovely, joyous time of sharing. And we also had some people who'd never been to a Passover meal before. And of course, we do it differently because it's Christ in the Passover for us. So that was really good to see some new faces. Next week, Bethesda will be with us, and we will be having a faith lunch after the service. So please make arrangements to stay for that afterwards. Now, most of you will know this, but just in case anyone doesn't know, our dear brother in Christ, Mike, was promoted to glory in the early hours of Good Friday morning, which seems very appropriate, I'm sure. And since then, we've been inundated with people saying, oh, and he did this and he did that. And when you think, all the time he was with us at Bethlehem, he was a steward, of course, and he was a worship leader. He sang beautifully in our music group. But also, every Christmas, we put those lovely Christmas decorations on the tree that he made. So we'll always remember Mike when we see them. He did lunches for the elderly, the wise owls, he called them, didn't it? Those wise owls lunches once a month at his home, because he was a great cook and entertainer. He helped with the Feast of Tabernacles, putting up the tabernacle, which was hilarious sometimes when it collapsed at the last minute. And he was very practical in many ways. He was the one that instigated the film nights. It's his suggestion that we start the film nights. And of course, he was a member of the Open the Door team. So, lots of things. He also painted the Bethany room with a little team of helpers. What else did he do? Oh, he covered the chairs. Yeah, so with those chairs that you're sitting on, Mike and her team covered the chairs, and he framed this lovely picture that we bought in Israel for us. So, he left a true legacy behind. And this morning at the sunrise service, of course, we remembered Mike because when he could, he was always there for that service. So we do extend our condolences to Jenny and his wider family in Wales. And we know that he is singing in that heavenly choir right now. Now, I hope you've all been given one of these. If you haven't, Doreen has them at the back. They'll be used later in the service. Now, I'm just going to prepare you, because at some point today there might be a loud noise which might startle you, but just to give you a bit of a pre-warning of that. But now, I'd just like you to turn to the person next to you and talk about what you've been doing this Easter weekend so far, or what you're planning to do for the rest of the day. You've got 2 minutes. Don't be afraid. That's the signal at the end of your conversation. Now, I wonder if any of you have ever been... Oh, you're still carrying... You have to do it again, Gary, because they're still carrying on. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you have been afraid? Because of a loud noise, an explosion maybe. I was thinking about being in a noisy crowd. When we went to India, I was overwhelmed by the crowds and the noise. Everyone was on their horns in their cars. If you're in a war situation, which sadly many parts of the world are at the moment, you've got the sirens going off and the warnings of explosions. So there's lots of things that can make you very anxious. And so today in our Bible reading, the Matthew's account of the resurrection was quite different from the others. It was very dramatic. They had earthquakes, lightning, and an angel appears with a face like lightning. So it was a real drama. And today we're going to think about how life can surprise us and shake us at times, but that God always whispers in our ears, "Don't be afraid." And now our call to worship this morning. On this glorious Easter day, let us celebrate once again that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive, and that even in dramatic scenes of noise and confusion, he meets and greets us with words of comfort and joy. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are alive, that you are here with us now. We worship you as your friends did on the very first Easter day. And we pray that you will renew our faith and make us strong, so that we may tell others your good news and bring your peace to the world. Amen.
To be, and they've never had it before. On our first day, we left port at 4 p.m., and we experienced 22 hours with no sleep of exceedingly rough weather with 4-6 winds and waves between 3.5 and 5.5 meters. We were advised to stay in our cabins and lie down, but with Steve and I on the double bed, the bed moved. Even that, though, didn't help because we had 31 people on board and only 5 people were not seasick all night. Well, the Cape Verde Islands had experienced unheard of, literally groundbreaking weather recently, and we saw some of that damage. It was caused by flooding from the storms because most of the islands, apart from two, are completely... the ground's really compacted and hard, and they don't have any natural water at all. They have to have desalinated water, so they can't grow crops and things like this. Only 2 of the islands can. And they only usually have between 6 and 8 days of very minimal rain a year. So when they had this torrential storm, the water just rushed down the mountains and just took everything out. Well, the immense force of the water was incredible, and it was literally groundbreaking, as you can see. And groundbreaking experiences are going on all over the world. And it's absolutely awful at times. However, the Bible tells us of the ultimate groundbreaking experience, which is a very positive thing. But you're going to hear about that now. Thank you very much.
Hello and welcome to Groundbreaking News. I'm Tommy Truthteller, reporting on the extraordinary reports coming in concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was buried 3 days ago. I have with me Mary of Magdala and Mary known as the other Mary. Mary and Mary, can you tell us what happened?
Well, Mary and I had gone to the tomb to pay our respects to Jesus, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. You were terrified.
Yes, and if that wasn't scary enough, an angel, presumably of the Lord, as the Bible likes to call it, descended from heaven and then rolled back the stone and sat on it. He probably needed a rest after all that exertion.
He really was quite a sight. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. Love to know what washing powder he uses. Anyway, for fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. Bad luck of news that was to us. Might have been useful having some guards around with all this going on.
But the angel said to us, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." And he said, "Come and see where he lay."
So what happened next?
Well, that's just what we did. We had a quick peek inside the tomb and then Jesus. What on earth is going on, you wonder?
At which point, Mr. Angel, or Angelus, as he is called in the Greek version of the Bible, said, "Go quickly and tell the disciples, he has been raised from the dead and is indeed going to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." And of course, Angelos means messenger in Greek. So we knew that we had to take that message straight away.
Anyway, at this point we started a bit befuddled, to tell the truth, partly frightened and partly ecstatic. Then, all of a sudden, Jesus appears.
"Yes, the Jesus we love so much. Greetings," he said.
Well, he just appeared just like that.
Yes, we were as surprised as you are. So we just grabbed hold of his feet and worshipped him. We couldn't believe our eyes, but we knew it was him.
Yes, it was wonderful.
And then he said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers in the Galilee to go to the Galilee. There they will see."
So, if you don't mind, we had better be on our way. I hope Peter and the others have got some fish left for us to eat, as in all the commotion, we haven't had our breakfast.
So there you have it. I'm off to Galilee too. Stay tuned to find out what happens next. This is Tommy Truth Teller on Resurrection Watch for Groundbreaking News.
Thank you, Tommy, Mary, and the other Mary. If you've read all the gospel accounts of the first day of the week, which is the day after Sabbath, you'll notice that though there's differences between them about Jesus' crucifixion, their similarities far outweigh them. No one would make up a story like this, given the shame associated with a crucified victim. The accounts of the first day of the week, thank you, Sue, vary more notably. Thank you. If you look at this picture here, this painting, here we see the two angels, not just one, and we see one woman, not two. But their common core is striking. The women's early visit to Jesus' tomb, which they find empty. Matthew differs from his source, St. Mark. He has two Marys coming to see the tomb, not to anoint the body. Mark has them wondering how they'll roll back the stone. But in Matthew, there's an earthquake, and they see the stone being moved by an angel of the Lord, dressed in the characteristic heavenly attire. In the scriptures, earthquakes are signs of God's presence and revelation. Matthew insists that the raising of the crucified Jesus isn't a made-up story, but nothing less than a groundbreaking divine revelation. The earthquake signified the breaking through of God's new world. And this is meant to be creative rather than destructive. Then, to add more weight to the authority of their message, the message for the disciples, Matthew has Jesus' final words to the women repeated what they heard from the angel. For all their differences, there's an unmistakable ring of truth. In a world in which women's testimony counted for nothing, here it becomes the foundation of the disciples' later witness to the raising of Jesus, who was crucified. Excuse me. Who would invent the incredible raising of a humiliated, crucified man by basing it on such improbable testimony? The women's witness is truly groundbreaking. Like the petrified guards and the wondering women, we might not know exactly how the resurrection happened, but we can know the glorious truth that Jesus is risen. But let's take a little closer look at what happened. Here we find the petrified guards had passed out with shock, possibly. The two Marys terrified and scared, both by the earthquake and the appearance of the angel, whose appearance was like lightning. I wonder how you'd feel in that scenario. I think we'd all feel equally anxious, scared, and frightened. I was scared on that yacht, especially when the waves smashed against the window, creating a loud bang and covering them completely. I thought they really would break through the glass. And believe me, I had prayed really hard for the stilling of the storm, but I knew his presence was with us in the boat. I wonder, though, what things in life make you anxious, or even scared, or terrified? I wonder if there's something at the moment that's deep down in there that's worrying you and niggling away at you. It might be that you're frightened about a situation that could be happening right now, or possibly in the future. Or maybe it's illness that you're fearful of. Maybe it's losing your independence. Ultimately, a lot of people fear death, and nobody wants to talk about it, which actually increases anxiety. I had one gentleman in a congregation in Sark who, every time I went to visit him, he was housebound. Whatever we started talking about, it always ended up talking about death. And he wanted to talk about it. And it was quite a testimony in his funeral to actually say he was looking forward to death because he knew what was going to happen. When we don't talk, things can increase anxieties. And we can talk to each other, but also the best one to talk to is God. Now, you've all been given, I hope, and put your hand up if you haven't got one of these. You will need a pen or a felt tip or a crayon. If you don't have any of those, put your hands up and then someone will bring you one. Because in a few moments of silence, I'd like you to open it up and write or draw something that you might be anxious about or frightened about, but write it inside the card so that when it's closed, you can't see anything. No one is going to read or look at these cards, but we will use them later in the service. So this is about each of us being honest with God about our own fears and anxieties. And remember, it's okay to have fears and faith. We'll have a time of silence just while we write or draw what we want to put in. When you've finished, just close it and put it somewhere that you can reach later on in the service. We're going to share together now in a Kyrie confession, and if you would respond with the words in bold. I think it's the next one, Sue. Oops, too far. That's it. When we are tempted to doubt the truth of Christ's resurrection, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
When we feel like running away and hiding from God's love, Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
When we fail to recognize Jesus in our midst, Lord, have mercy. Now the gospel of acclamation. And now we can give thanks that Jesus, who was dead, is alive once more. Weeping is turned to joy and sorrow to gladness. Alleluia. And now in keeping with our theme of not being afraid, we're going to sing and have the actions to be bold, be strong. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And when you say with you, you might want to point to somebody else. And then I am not afraid. And then eventually I'm marching. And if you want to stay seated, those of you, you can still do the actions. And if you're able, just wiggle your feet in the chair. All right? But we stand as we're able. Thank you.
We now have our prayer of confession, and we will say together the words on the screen. Lord, forgive us when we do not notice life and beauty all around us. Help us to remember that you give life to everything in the world, and especially the new life of Jesus, which we celebrate at Easter. We are sorry for the times when we spoil your creation by our thoughtlessness, instead of caring for it as you care for us. Teach us to be more like you, loving and creative, and putting others before ourselves. Amen. And an assurance of forgiveness. We are resurrection people, and through Jesus we can live life in all its fullness. God tells us to not be afraid, so that we can have alleluias always on our lips and in our hearts. Let us live in resurrection light, life, and love.
Amen.
God of surprises, by the raising of your Son, you have destroyed death and overturned despair. Fill us with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to new life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. Diane prayed that our despair would be overturned and asked that we would be filled with faith and hope. And the Bible tells us clearly that we can be confident and have that hope. Listen to what it says. Thank you, Barbara.
Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Barbara. Before we can begin to reflect on this wonderful hope, we need to deal with our current and or future fears and anxieties. Let's remind ourselves what the angel and Jesus said to both the Marys. Do not be afraid. In a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to take your angel prayer wing card or ask somebody else to carry it for you. You're going to bring them forward and either place them in the tomb or throw them in the tomb. You will have placed them symbolically in the Lord's care. You don't need to carry that burden, that fear, that anxiety anymore. You can move forward with hope and not be afraid. God's loving embrace surrounds you. Remember, though, there are opportunities at the end of the service if you feel you'd like someone to pray with you. Thank you. So whenever you feel ready, please come forward and put your angel wings into the tomb.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we've brought before you our anxieties, our fears, and we know that you hold them now. We don't need to carry them any longer. When things happen that make us scared, anxious, or fearful, help us to know you are with us. Help us to hear you saying, "Do not be afraid." Help us to remember that on Easter Day, you turned fear to joy, and help us to share this good news with others. Amen. For the two Marys, they had the extra privilege of meeting Jesus in person, in his risen physical form. We don't have that privilege yet, but we can learn from what they did. First, they took hold of Jesus. If you've ever been separated from someone you love that you thought you wouldn't see again, and suddenly you see them, it's quite mind-blowing, isn't it? You want to hold on to them because it's proof of their existence. I remember when 2-year-old Noah came, he flew over to visit us with his parents in Jersey. And even though we video called him every so often, he didn't know when or if he would actually see us again. So while his parents were waiting for their luggage at the airport, the security doors opened. He saw us and left his parents, just flew through the doors and straight into our arms. He wanted to hold us both. Matthew tells us that the two Marys were in a confused state of fear and great joy. When life's events shake us, and they will, without a doubt, we're wise if, like the women, we in faith take hold of Jesus and listen to his voice saying, I didn't quite hear that. And having taken hold of Jesus, they worshipped him. Their relationship with him is renewed. After the somber season of Lent, Easter is a season of celebration for renewal, renewed, hopeful, joyful, celebratory worship. This is a sign of knowledge and belief in our risen Lord. Then, having been reassured again by Jesus with the wonderful recurring phrase, "Do not be afraid," the two Marys are told to go and tell. To go and tell their testimony, their personal story. To go and tell the good news that Jesus is risen and all that that means. To go and tell others that they too can see Jesus again. This is a commissioning of Jesus of their roles as disciples and evangelists. Today, the same commissioning is given to each one of us to share our stories with others and how the Lord has been involved in our lives. To share the good news that Jesus is risen and that they too can meet him. So this Easter, let's respond as the women did. Let us take hold of Jesus. Let us hear his words. Let us worship him and know deeply the truth of the resurrection. The hope that the resurrection gives us is the confidence that we have to go and tell. Be ignited and let us go and tell others this powerful good news. Because when I was lost, you came and rescued me. We're going to sing now 1607. When I was lost, you came and rescued me.
Our prayers for others. Father God, you sent your Son for us. This Easter, we remember the story that shook the world, the earthquake, the stone rolling away from the grave, and the joy of a world shaken by the defeat of death and your Son coming back to life. We remember the hope that this amazing news gives us, and the joy of knowing we can know and love you more through your Son. So we pray that you would shake us. We pray that you would make us into people with the energy and hope of those first followers of Jesus, seeing all chances to share your message of good news with others. Shake us so that we would desire to read your word, pray and listen to you, and become more like the disciples you call us to be. Wake us from being dead to the joy of Jesus saving us. Shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Lord God, our Father, you sent your Son to bring peace. This Easter, we think of the world that Jesus lived in, with people fighting for power and claiming land that was not theirs. We think of those who realize that Jesus came to bring peace and offer a new way to live with others, and those who only saw chances to be selfish and cruel. So we pray that you would shake our world. We pray for all leaders across the world who seem to be supporting and encouraging conflict and war, and those trying desperately to bring conflict and war to an end. We pray that you would shake their consciences and open their eyes to the pain and turmoil that they are causing. We pray that all world leaders will work tirelessly to save lives and stop the destruction that war causes. We continue to pray for the desperate situations in Ukraine, all of the Middle East, Sudan, and so many other areas of the world torn apart by war. Shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Our Father God, you sent your Son to speak truth. This Easter, we think of those days before his death on the cross, when Jesus spoke truth to the powers in the temple, truth to the Roman and Jewish leaders, and truth to all those who would listen. We remember that even through Jesus' death, people such as the Roman officer realized the truth of Jesus, true Son of God. So we pray that you would shake all people. We pray that people would not be easily led into believing lies and rumors about others, or take whatever they read on the internet or even the media as being true. We pray that you would shake celebrities, leaders, and all those with influence to consider carefully the truth of what they say, and avoid things that will stir up anger and unrest based on lies. We pray for those who have allegations made against them and all victims of harm and abuse. Shake all people into being people who speak and live by the truth. Shake your world with peace, love, and hope. Father God, you sent your Son to show compassion. This Easter, we think of the compassion that Jesus showed to those who were crucified alongside him, and those close to him who he spoke to even when dying. We think of all his words of compassion and hope, his example of caring and healing, and his parables that show his care for people. So shake all your followers. We pray that we who claim to carry the name of your Son Jesus would also carry his behaviors with us. We pray that we would actively help the homeless, feed the hungry, support the weak, Walk alongside those sad and ill. Speak up for the forgotten or undervalued. And live lives that shout the good news of Jesus in all we do. We remember those known to us who are struggling with health issues and those who have recently been bereaved. We think especially of our dear sister in Christ, Anne, and pray that her situation will improve soon. We also lift Jenny to you, Lord, and ask that she will sense your presence with her as she mourns the loss of dear Mike. We also pray for Sue's son Neil and Vicky, his wife, and their son Ben, who recently suffered a stroke. We pray for healing for him. We remember all those facing higher bills and struggling to cope with price rises in fuel and food. Shake us Christians out of our comfort zones to be children and adults who live out Jesus' compassion every day. Shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Amen.
Amen.
And we join together to say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the honor. Forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. We'll now receive the offering. Thank you. And we're going to join in the offering prayer together. Let us pray. Lord and giver of every good thing, we bring to you bread and wine for our communion, lives and gifts of money here and those paid directly into the bank, all gifts for your kingdom, all for transformation through your grace and love, made known in Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. And as we prepare for communion, we're going to sing, Here is bread, here is wine.
Christ is with you.
We need the communion now, Sue. Thank you. In a moment, we're going to share the peace, and I'd ask that just for now, you share the peace with the person either side of you, or in front or behind you, okay? And then we can continue fellowship in the hall afterwards. And just be mindful that not everybody likes a hug. Just be sensitive. Okay. Jesus came to the disciples when they were confused and afraid, and he calmed them with his peace. May we be peace givers to one another. Alleluia. The peace of the risen Lord be always with you. We share the peace. Peace of the Lord be with you. And now we give God thanks because the tomb could not imprison Jesus, but that he came alive again in an outburst of joy. We praise him for Mary's exuberant and immediate reaction, which fires us also to go and tell what we have seen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Gracious God, in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth. You gave us life and purpose and a desire to seek you. You gave your light to shine in the darkness and promised that it would never be overcome. Through Jesus your Son, the Word made flesh, revealing your glory. Through his life, death, and resurrection, we have life in his name. Early on the first day of the week, women came to the tomb and found the stone had gone. You remove the barriers that stop us meeting you and give salvation for the life of the whole world. You turn our despair into hope, our weeping into joy, our doubt into faith. And by the Holy Spirit, you breathe new life into us and all creation. Therefore, with your people throughout the ages, the faithful of every time and place, we praise your holy name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and in the highest. On the night that he was handed over, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As we offer all that we have and all that we are, breathe your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine and upon us that we may share in the resurrection life of Christ. Through the death, resurrection of your Son, we pray that you will raise us up on the last day, that with all your people we may praise and worship you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom,
in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours,
Heavenly Father, now and always. Amen. As often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's resurrection until he comes. Open our eyes that we may see him and believe in him
Alleluia. Alleluia. We meet the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and receive. What we're going to do today is we're going to have the bread and the wine here. If each row can come in the middle and both come down the side and then back up the middle to your places. Okay? Thank you. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope that you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia. Amen. O Lord our God, our hearts are full of excitement and praise. May the celebration of your Son's resurrection from the dead give us courage and hope and a new eagerness to serve you and your people. The world is weary and jaded, so help us take the stupendous news of salvation to all who need it today. Amen. This week, look out for Jesus in the places that you go to, particularly those that you find challenging. And if you feel shaken, remember, hold on to him in your heart and be reminded of his words of peace. Do not be afraid, go and tell. We stand, if we're able, to sing, Thine be the glory, risen conquering Lord. Big thank you to everybody who's done anything, from the flowers to whatever. There's been so much help putting this service together. So thank you, everybody, and thank you for your prayers. Our sending out prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, hopeful day. Thank you that you are alive and with us in all the celebrations and challenges of life. Go with us now to enjoy our celebrations and face any challenges ahead. May we share your good news and blessing with all those we meet this week. Amen. Alleluia. Go in joy and peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Alleluia.